finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Beasley swings it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
Is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, off and running we are here after the Killer Bees. Big thank you to Jeremy and Joel. I hope you enjoyed their show as usual. And for the next 2 hours, it is the best in soccer talk, self proclaimed. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 on the air. If you want the stream, it's ESPN975.com, and the call-in number tonight is 713-780-3776. And I would keep that handy. We're giving away tickets here tonight. Lone Star Sports and Entertainment Gold Cup Final tickets. And Sunday, the Gold Cup Final's here. Here's a first little take on that. You got semifinals tomorrow night, which will be the U.S., Guatemala. Really love what Guatemala did to Canada. What a prideful moment for that country. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. But also you have Mexico in their semi against Honduras. Now, Honduras in past history has given Mexico some problems. So no matter what combination of two teams, now, of course, everybody wants, well, a lot of people want, U.S.-Mexico. Honduras will draw here in Houston. Guatemala will draw here in Houston. You're going to have a huge crowd on Sunday at Energy Stadium, no matter who gets through. We have seen Guatemala sell out Shell Energy Stadium, and we know there are very passionate Honduran and Guatemalan soccer fans to go along with the passionate Mexican fan. And as you know, I am brutally honest on this show. Out of the 4 fan bases, the weakest fan base is probably, don't get mad at me, but you know what I'm going to say, U.S. supporters. But I would say there are more U.S. supporters coming out now that the team is winning and the team is in the semifinals. All right, the question of the night tonight is going to be Gold Cup or FIFA Club World Cup. Which one do you like better? Which is your preference? We have a lot of texts tonight, so I'll read some of those texts from people during the day that were talking about the differing reasons why they like one over the other. Today we saw Real Madrid get a 1-0 victory over Juventus. So we got tonight Monterrey in the Club World Cup. What an opportunity for them against Borussia Dortmund. And this is one of the pros of this tournament. And the pros of this tournament is that a team from Liga MX, Monterrey, can play a team from the German Bundesliga. Pretty cool. That is one of the cooler elements of it. But is it too much football? I have to say yes. So there's a lot to get into tonight. But we're going to start it off here now with Game On.
Game On, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game On.
With Game On for 90.
All right, here we go. I'm on the clock. There's no denying it anymore. The beautiful game is being pulled in directions we never imagined. Commercialization has taken hold like a vice grip. Expansion just continues, and in all sports. And the soul of soccer, I think, is a little bit under siege. The sport we love, the world's game, it's increasingly being steered by boardrooms, brand deals, balance sheets, and all the other things that come along with commercialization. Many of those in charge, yeah, they don't necessarily have the heartbeat and the passion and the reverence for the game and the lived connection to the game. But let's be honest, it's not turning back. You know it. I know it. That's why we're talking about the Club World Cup and Gold Cup. How much football can there be? We still marvel at the magic, though. We love Messi. We love Mbappe, Beckham, Vinny Jr. These names roll off the tongue like poetry. Maradona. On and on we go. The real Ronaldo. They mesmerize with their brilliance. They keep the spotlight blazing. But beneath all the name brand and the big brand, football, soccer, it is evolving at warp speed. The shift is everywhere, on the field, off it, in the stands, balance sheets. I mean, all you got to do is look at the FIFA Club World Cup. In the middle of all this madness, though, the game gives us gifts and great reminders. I got one the other day. Moments that strike deep, that call us back to the soul of why we really love this game, why we fell in love with it in the first place, why it was a game that was created for the poor, by the poor, in many cases. Having called the U.S.-Guatemala World Cup qualifier years back on ESPN, I felt a connection. I remembered the fire in the national stadium in Guatemala City, the chanting, the edge of the air, everybody in a white T-shirt. And watching their Gold Cup moment this past weekend, I felt it again. Because football won. They defeated Canada on penalties. Had these beautiful new crisp jerseys. And they advanced. Now flash to the FIFA Club World Cup. Auckland City FC from New Zealand. A semi-pro team surrounded by giants. They play Bayern Munich and Benfica. They get outscored 16-0. 16-0. Then they get Boca Juniors. And in the middle of it, a team of teachers, pool cleaners, office workers, warehouse clerks, Coca-Cola representatives. These aren't Glover stars in private jets. They're everyday warriors working 9 to 5 and then playing the game at night under the floodlights. No private jets, no sports cars, no posses, no drips, just passion, commitment, and a weekly stipend of 150 New Zealand dollars. Just because they love playing the game. To face Bayern Munich was a fantasy. To lose 10-0 is a horror, but it is not if you got to this pinnacle as a semi-pro player. For Auckland City, it was reality, one they earned through sweat, not sponsors. Scoreline was harsh, but at the end of the day, they pulled off a miracle in a 1-1 draw with Boca Juniors. And this is it, still at its core, the sport of the people, born on the muddy fields, built by working class hands. Guatemala, a nation overlooked. What a prideful moment for them against Canada. So if you look at these two moments, you get these beautiful reminders about this game and how this game can quickly reboot us. It's being pulled by money, machinery, hype, and media now. We know that. We don't forget to look past the headlines because somewhere out there in Guatemala and in Auckland, New Zealand, corners of the world, the game remains pure. Even on the city fields here in Houston. Still for the people, for the dreamers. And for 90 minutes, no matter who you are or what you do, football, the beautiful game, levels the playing field. And that is game on for 90. So, I really enjoyed what Guatemala did. It was prideful. When I watched that game, you know, they had a new strip, a new jersey that had a diagonal stripe, very much like Peru's, and an excellent manager in Luis Fernando Tena. And they just kind of look reborn. They look reorganized. They look rebooted. They look rebranded. They look determined. And they stood up to Canada. And it was a wonderful, wonderful moment for them to win in penalty kicks. But they basically said it. We're here. We belong. We're going to play like we belong. And pretty incredible. By the way, the Auckland City semi-pro team, okay, and I think they were the only semi-pro team that got in this. The guy who scored the goal was a teacher. header against Boca Juniors, which kind of leads me to Boca Juniors and River Plate. Because Boca and River, although they may have started off with a bang in this tournament, Boca and River didn't live up to it. Boca lost to Bayern by a goal. They drew Benfica 2-2. So very competitive against two European teams, but then ended up tying Auckland City. River Plate beat Urawa Reds, drew Monterrey, and then lost to Inter Milan 3-0. So both Boca Juniors and River Plate did not advance. The Brazilian teams are the stars of this show, in my opinion. And they continue to get results and continue to press forward in this tournament. There's two Brazilian teams that will get into the last eight. So let's see what we have now. We have Fluminense against Al-Hilal. Al-Hilal beats Man City last night, by the way. So, again, this is the reminder of this tournament that pits teams from Saudi Arabia, from Mexico, from South America against the European giants. These are massive platforms for these teams to deliver and to be motivated against European teams. And in this country, yeah, we are Eurocentric when it comes to football because, let's face it, you got the Premier League on TV, you got La Liga, you got Serie A, you got the Bundesliga, and this is where a lot of the best players in the world flow. By the way, they flow from Brazil and Argentina in a lot of cases, right? So you got Fluminense Al-Hilal, who did the shocker over Man City. You got Palmeiras, another Brazilian team against Chelsea. By the way, Mikael of the Houston Dynamo's on that team. PSG and Bayern Munich. And I would think Mikael's probably picking up some real bonus money. And then you're going to get Real Madrid against tonight, the winner of Monterrey or Dortmund. And there are a lot of people here in Houston, certainly a lot of Rayados fans here who are going to be glued to the TV tonight doing watch parties, you name it. They're going to do it. So there's that. Okay, we continue on here tonight. U.S. Costa Rica, we're going to get into that. Let me tell you who we have on the show. Lawrence Anali, who's a very exciting dynamic attacking player for the Houston Dynamo, I think has brought the most excitement this year. Last game changed the game against St. Louis, played a part in the pressure that was created by him off the dribble. That led to the Dynamo goal after Felipe Andrade turned back a ball on the end line. By the way, he deserves tremendous credit for that. And Ezequiel Ponce deserves tremendous credit for getting into the box and being where that ball would ultimately be. But we'll get into the Houston Dynamo here, probably in the next segment. So Lawrence Anali is going to join us tonight here on the show. Really looking forward to talking to him. I think he can be a superstar here in Houston. He's electric. He's exciting. I mentioned this on Fox 26 in the morning with Nate Griffin. He's the kind of player that I think fans of all ages can latch onto. It's the type of player that gives the Dynamo a level of verticality they don't have. It also gives them a dribbler. It's another thing they don't have. So in this package, you're going to get a number of elements to an attack that you need. Now, the question is, how much freedom will he be given? And how much freedom will Ben Olsen give him under this system? I would assume he's going to want him to be taking people on. And then we'll bring him on. Young German kid, excellent player, one that people should be focused on here in Houston, Texas. He'll be on the show here tonight. We've had him on once before. That game also had Nico Ladero's. Dynamo did a nice jersey celebration for him. It was a quick cup of tea here in Houston with Ladero, but I think that was more about just his overall contributions to Major League Soccer. One of the greatest attacking players in the history of the league. Won MLS Cups in Seattle. Nico Ladero goes back to his hometown club. Reports tell me that Ladero's taking very little salary. It's almost like he's going back to his club in Uruguay called Nacional, and he's going back there in a gesture of almost thanks because that's where his career began. And these are the things you absolutely love hearing. This is where sport takes precedent over money, bling, Lamborghinis, drips, all the other stuff. These are the stories that I love in a deeper way because they're a little bit more real and they're organic. Zlatan Ibrahimovic loves a good soundbite. I think he's trying to stay relevant these days. He says this about Inter Miami and Leo Messi after they got smoked by PSG. Zlatan Ibrahimovic says, Leo Messi didn't lose. Inter Miami did. Messi is playing with statues, not teammates. He's surrounded by players who run as if they're carrying bags of cement. Quote, if he were in a real team, in any big team, you'd see the real lion Messi plays only because he loves the game, because he can still do what 99% of players cannot. There are no coaches, no stars, not even players who understand how to move without the ball. This is not the Messi I know. If you put him in a real team, he'll still set the stadium on fire. No doubt. I think you could plug him into any team in Europe, provided they would build a team around him. He would still tear it up. But secondarily, what Zlatan Ibrahimovic is saying there, he's calling the best possession and one of the better teams in Major League Soccer a bunch of statues. So he's calling Sergio Busquets a statue, Jordi Alba. He's probably referencing Luis Suarez as well. I don't know what his relationship is, although Suarez had a goal and an assist recently. I don't know. I don't know how much damage that 4-0 loss did to Major League Soccer. Because Inter Miami couldn't get the ball, and they're not used to defending. They don't in Major League Soccer. They dominate possession every game they play in. And all of a sudden, they had to defend. And, of course, we found out they're not great defensively, right? Because, essentially, they don't have to do it in Major League Soccer much. So, Zlatan jumping out with that great soundbite. There was another great one showing you. I'm a fan of coaches because I really do know that their jobs are extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. Jesse Marsh had a beauty. I mean, he had a beauty. Jesse basically said before the Gold Cup for Canada, not one guy has called me and said, Coach, I don't know, it's been a long year. Maybe I don't come for the Gold Cup. That's what Jesse Marsh said. He's probably taking a poke at Pulisic there, like everybody else. After he got knocked out by Guatemala, guess what he said? He said, quote, if I'm honest, we're missing half our group. Well, guess what, Jesse? You weren't honest the first time. You're a hypocrite. Yeah. His game's a bit tired now. I get the emotional, the power, and the passion of Jesse Marsh, but a little tired right now. That one didn't age very well. All right, quick word here for Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. You want the best in Greek and American food? It's Nico Nico's. They've got everything in there. Souvlaki's, gyros, incredible salads, incredible chicken soup. The Lamb Shank is one of my favorites. They got three locations around Houston. One in the Woodlands, one on the Beltway and I-10, and then, of course, my favorite in Montrose. But I'll tell you what, you want some Greek, Mediterranean, really, really good food, the hummuses, all that. It is Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. T-shirts and hats, LamontBrands.com, Soccer Matters. It's the best. You have printing needs, you want to go to Lamont Brands. Jerry and Mel Lamont, great, great friends of this show. We'll come back. We're going to break the dynamo down a little bit. Federico De Michelis joins me tonight. Lawrence Anali joins me. And from American Soccer Now, we'll also have on Brian Sciarretta tonight to do go over the U.S. men's national team as well. All right, we'll take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. By the way, this is Dan Auerbach. What's the name of the song? Heartbroken
in Despair.
In Despair. Yeah, we know about that.
ESPN
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Fluminense, Brazilian club, still alive. Two of them have made it to the quarterfinals. That was the game winner from Cano for Fluminense in a 2-0 victory over Inter Milan. We'll get into the FIFA Club World Cup here tonight. Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. That was Aerosmith and No More, No More. Good moment to bring in Cactus Music. Cactus Music for all your vinyl, your CD needs down there. Get down there. The staff know their music top to bottom, every category. It's a lot of fun just hanging out in there and looking for some used gems or pre-owned gems. And then all the new reissues that come out, and boy, they've got it all. CDs, vinyl, cool t-shirts. It is Cactus Music. Good buddy Quinn down there. Okay, let's get into, I did speak about Guatemala, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that a little later in this show with Federico Di Michelis, because when they won that game, that stadium just, it lit up. It lit up. And I'm sure Guatemala City lit up as well. But as I said before, switching back to the Gold Cup now, we got two semifinals tomorrow night. It doesn't matter what combination of teams get here. There will be a massive crowd there on Sunday because Honduras has got a huge fan base. The U.S. and Mexico, Mexico's got a huge fan base. Guatemala's got a huge fan base. And it's a final. It's a final. And tonight we'll be giving away another pair of tickets. By the way, tomorrow morning I'll give another pair away on social media, which everybody has really done a wonderful job of reposting. And I don't know, I think we got like 10,000 looks on that thing. I mean, it's phenomenal what people have done and how badly they want to go to the Gold Cup final. Now, if you don't win tickets, you can buy them at lsse.net. lsse.net. All right, so let's run through just the chronology of the U.S. game. All right, bad penalty given away by Max Arfston, and to the penalty spot goes Costa Rica's Francisco Calvo.
Francisco Calvo scores! Los Ticos strike first!
That was short and sweet, and that is exactly what happened. So let me tell you one thing. The U.S. at that point came out sharp. They gave up a bad penalty. The book on Max Arfston now is he's not a great one-on-one defender. He's more of a winger. He's better in possession going forward. That guy who hit that penalty kick, Francisco Calvo, went to San Jacinto College. He ended up in World Cups with Costa Rica. He has had an unbelievable career. Sadly, San Jacinto College killed their soccer program. They also produced Dane Richards, a whole bunch of great, great soccer players. Dave Santisteban was the coach when Calvo was there. And him and I are good friends. And he told me the story how he went to Costa Rica and got Francisco Calvo and one of his friends to come and play at San Jacinto College. And the rest is history. And that's a history not many people will know here in Houston. But it's a shame because the junior college game provides a wonderful outlet, not only in economical education, but it's a great place for young soccer players to, just kind of ease into the college scene, keep playing at a high level, and then ultimately move on from there. And it's just a shame we don't have that level anymore of a junior college team here in Houston. Again, that would be a nice addition to the soccer landscape. Okay, I went away from where I should have been there. Okay, and then 43rd minute, he gets his first, Diego Luna.
Max Arston now squaring it back for Luna. Diego Luna deflected in! Diego Luna getting it done for the United States, all level again in Minneapolis.
Yeah, so the guy who conceded the penalty sets up Luna, and then he gets the go-ahead goal here in the 47th. Here's Arston with the goal that would make it 2-1 U.S.
Malik Tillman feeds it along.
But then really, really poor defending here in the 71st minute. Two U.S., one was De La Torre, and I think it might have been Arfston again. They get split. I mean, positionally, they're just a mess. They easily get split. It's the 71st minute of a game. These things can't happen. And Alonso Martinez, who plays for New York City FC and MLS, ties it up.
Down a goal. Tournament lost. Saved by Freeze. Rebound loose. Set in front.
U.S. ultimately would go on, win it in penalty kicks. It becomes a very emotional, a very strong win to battle back from mistakes. And I think for those that are looking at this U.S. team and expecting this thing to run like a machine, I think you're naive. There's a lot of very young players here who are getting real opportunity. Arston is one of them. I think Adjiman up front is another one who's getting a run of games here. They're really being given opportunity here by Pochettino in a big, big way. Tillman is stepping up now more. Now, will that translate into bigger things for him? Who knows? So here's Mauricio Pochettino, poach match on emotional control.
Trust the player. Yes, emotional because... you play for go to the next round, and it's the semifinal. But in the same time, to keep calm, because I seen the important thing from the touchline. I think it's important to show control and to translate to the player the relax and the confidence on them.
Players take a lot from the behavior of managers, and. Pochettino spoke on that there. Now, let's not forget, Matt Friis was one of the superstars in this. He made three saves and penalty kicks. Here's Mauricio Pochettino on the U.S. goalkeeper, Matt Friis.
But I think we really trust in all our keepers. And when we made the decision to play and give the confidence to him, it was with all the situation that happened, no? And accepting that maybe can make a mistake. But I think any keeper can make a mistake. The most important is to make the decision and translate the confidence and trust and be sure that your decision was a good decision for the team.
So if you remember, Matt Friis made a mistake, got caught in possession in one of the games, conceded a bad goal, but Pochettino stuck with him. Here's more from Pochettino on trust.
Oh, for the people, it's not easy to see our decision, but I think when you... Like I was talking about the keepers. When you made a decision, I think it's, you need to trust. Even if something wrong happened, I think it's about to trust. Because on the end, when you really trust and give the confidence, and when you assess the player and see the talent there, it's only a question of time and confidence and trust. And I think Malik is a great show in this tournament, great quality. Today was... was difficult for him, but because when there was the penalty, he suffered a big twist in his ankle. But after it showed his character and all that can add to this team, and that is why we are happy. But we are happy with all the whole team, because I am happy with the starting 11. I am happy with after the impact from the bench, but I am so happy with the players on the bench that were there and they didn't have the possibility to play, but they were. The first supporter, the first fans, the first people helping the teammate.
So you see Pochettino there keeping an eye on his bench and how supportive others are.
This is when managers have to make big decisions, right? Goalkeeper Matt Friis makes a mistake. It's easily an opportunity to put in another goalkeeper. He sticks with him. Tillman misses a penalty. He's supporting Tillman. These are the things that happen. Here's more from Mauricio Pochettino on Tillman, who's scoring goals in this tournament and is really kind of lifting himself. And he'll be one of the big players coming into this semifinal against Guatemala tomorrow night.
No, I think he's strong, more strong than you believe. To head down is his personality, his character, but he's strong. He's really strong in his mind. How he's is strong, his body, you know, he's a strong guy. No, it's his way, not to be. It's his character, but he's strong. He's really strong.
All right, so here's some of the takeaways. Advancement from the U.S. despite challenges. Like I said, conceded an early penalty, conceded a late equalizer, found a way to advance. It's resilience. It's team bonding. It's team building. These are things you can build off in a tournament. Tournaments are momentum. Remember, the World Cup next summer is a short tournament. These are momentum-based events. It's a short tournament. And you get bragging rights for being the best national team in the world for 4 years. If I go back to the last World Cup under Greg Berhalter, and I've said this many, many times on this show, and even prior to that, we as the United States burn way too much physical and emotional energy getting out of the group stages. We have to prove in this next World Cup. And there might be some people saying, well, that's if we get out of the group stages. We'll see. We'll see what we get drawn with. But we have to not only get out of the group stages, that's a must. You got to go deeper in this tournament. But you have to get out of it in a way that you haven't exhausted the Christian Pulisics of the world, the Tyler Adamses of the world, the Anthony Robinsons of the world. And that's why the left-back position, you know, who's going to be the cover? Arfston's not a great one-on-one defender. He's had some really good moments going forward, but that's not his, as Austin Powers would say, it's not my bag, baby. you know, does Serginho Dest come over there and play left back if Robinson goes down? How will Serginho Dest be? He's coming back from a serious injury. There's a lot of questions that'll get answered over the course of a year. They'll be formed from players with their club teams that's going to be observed. But center back, I think Richards is pretty much a lock now. I see a little bit more leadership coming out of him. I see him shouting at players a little bit more. I like that. But there were performances that can continue to influence a coach. And a lot of these guys are young, and a lot aren't going to go to the World Cup. Some will. But the efforts in this tournament will go into the Rolodex of the mind of the manager, Mauricio Pochettino. Make no mistake, there were moments of naive play. We've talked about it. Arfston and De La Torre getting split off the dribble. I mean, these were really naive moments. Choices on the ball in the final third. You know, there were some advancement into the final third. There was an obvious ball that's missed. Performances were mixed, but not without effort. And that's the great equalizer. But he's given real consistent opportunity. Matt Friis, Max Arfston, Alex Freeman, Diego Luna, Malik Tillman, Patrick Adjiman, Sebastian Berhalter getting some. And this was a young Costa Rica. And Miguel Herrera had them fighting. Piojo had that team fighting. Truth be told, U.S. had the territorial advantage. It's not perfect. What's perfect is you've advanced. Now you take it next level against Guatemala. And Guatemala is going to want to slay the beast. I've been in Guatemala City. I've seen what it means to play against the U.S. national team. I felt it. I smelled it. I tasted it. 63% of the possession for the U.S., 18 shots, 4 on goal, 9 corner kicks. So you've beaten Trinidad and Tobago, Saudi Arabia, and Haiti. You've gotten past Costa Rica. And this is the correct medicine for increased excitement and belief around the U.S. national team. All right, we're going to take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713, call now. Get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident. You need the best in the business. The best in the business is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Boat, motorcycle, anything maritime. Maybe you drive an 18-wheeler. You work on a construction project. Sometimes you need a personal injury attorney. Well, if you want one, it is the best. It is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big shout out to Hugh O'Connor's Pub, by the way, on the 21st out there. We're going to do an airing of the 1966 World Cup, the only time England won it, over West Germany. Jeff Hurst will live in your mind in that one. We're going to do a viewing party out there of the 66 World Cup final. It will be at Hugh O'Connor's in the Marquee Entertainment Center right off of I-10. That's on July 21st. Then the next day we turn it around and we go to Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village. I was about to say Jersey City, New Jersey. Jersey Village. And this is a wonderful brew pub. And we've been having a real good time out there. Brian's been out there as well. All right, we'll take a break. We're coming back with Houston Dynamo, the electrifying winger. His name, Lawrence Anali. Next.
ESPN 97.5. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. I did mention Senate Avenue Brewing, the best in fresh brewed beer, since we're about to bring on Lawrence Anali, and we all know how good German beer is. Well, we thought we would talk a little bit about beer. But Senate Avenue Brewing, it's up 290. Exceptional spot. We do a live show there every month. The best in fresh beer, all kinds of selections, whether you like IPAs, lighter beers, heavier beers. They've got everything there. It's award-winning beer, award-winning food, beautiful patio. And every time we do our live show up there at Senate Avenue Brewing once a month, well, we get Dynamo players out there as well. This just in, Juventus's manager Igor Tudor said 10 players asked to come off in their game against Real Madrid. This has been one of the criticisms against the FIFA Club World Cup. All right, let's not keep our guest waiting. He is Dynamo winger Lawrence Anali. Coming back now, Lawrence, 45 minutes in the 1-0 victory over St. Louis, plays a part in the goal. He joins us now. Hi, Lawrence.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for coming back on. When you first got to Houston, we had you on the show, and it's really nice to have you back on. It's also very nice to see you back on the field, Lawrence. Just your thoughts on getting a nice 45 minutes under your belt after a long recovery from injury.
Yeah, it was nice to be back out there for more than 50, not 20 minutes. It was just amazing. This was what I was working for the last couple of months. It was amazing. Atmosphere was good. The game was nice.
Lawrence, everything was perfect. Take me into the recovery process. I've gone through that. It becomes a pretty lonely place. And sometimes you don't really feel like a part of the team. Are those fair things to say about recovering from a knee injury?
Yeah, it was difficult, especially with my family being in Germany. And me being alone here in Houston, it was even more difficult. But I have to say that being with the team, like I didn't feel like very separate from the team because I had my people in the team that helped me, that talked to me, they made sure that I'm good. Whatever I needed, they would bring it to me.
Lawrence Anali joining us, Houston Dynamo. And I know they've been very much monitoring your minutes. That's what happens with the modern athlete now. Do you feel like you're getting closer and closer to, you know, absorbing even more minutes?
Yeah, it was planned for me to get 60 minutes in total last week. So I played 15 minutes against Minnesota and 45 against St. Louis on Saturday. And now once that I finally broke the 60-minute mark, I think I'm good to go. So we will see what the coach has planned with me.
So do you lobby sometimes with the medical staff saying, hey, I'm ready. I can do 75. I can do 80. You know, I mean, you must be like a horse unbridled right now to get on the field.
Yeah, of course. But you got to be patient, especially in the beginning when you're coming back. It's always a little bit risky. I'm happy with the minutes I got now. I think it got better game to game. I feel more comfortable, and yeah, especially in Houston with the weather, it's a little bit more difficult after coming back after a big injury. Like I said, I'm very happy with the minutes I got, and looking forward for more.
Lawrence Sonnally joining us tonight, electric winger, exciting, somebody who your eyes get drawn to when they play the game. So you played a big part in the Ponce goal because you sized up a defender, you beat him to his left. One thing I've noticed about your game, Lawrence, you seem equally comfortable going left or right. Is that something that you trained just relentlessly, or is that something that's part natural, or maybe both?
I think it's quite natural. I grew up being a right back, so I always had to go down the line. Actually, the movement into the middle, they came a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was born comfortable going left or right. So, yeah.
Makes you dangerous because I think people that are predominantly right-footed playing on the left, I think defenders quickly realize that, right?
Yeah. It makes them guess what I'm doing next, and I love that. That's what I want my opponents to think too much, and then I'm gone.
So that's
what I'm always looking for.
So when you got hurt, you wouldn't believe the amount of people asking me, when is Lawrence Sonnally coming back? I said, well, you know, and then as we get closer to this season, they keep asking me when. So now you're coming back. It's obvious you've struck a nerve with the fans here in Houston. I believe a lot of that is because of the way you play the game, the want, the desire, the conviction to take people on off the dribble. And, you know, you said you grew up playing as a right back. But this is an attitude too, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my biggest skill, my pace and my 1v1s. I think that's what everyone is looking for, every fan. That's why we all love Messi or I don't know who. Now, Lamine Jamal.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone likes watching these people, and that's my play style, and that's why I play football for. I want to beat people 1v1, 1v2, go and dribble, run fast. That's why I love football so much, because it's so diverse. You can do whatever you want with the ball.
And I think it's the perfect complement now to a team that is based on possession and passing the ball to all of a sudden put you into this team. I think opponents have to look at the Houston Dynamo very differently, not to mention the fact that you can make runs in behind a defense.
Yeah, that's you said it perfectly. I don't know what to say to that, but yeah, that's who I am. The teams can try to change something, but I think we'll always find a way to beat my man.
So for sure, I saw you come in that game, and St. Louis has to deal with the Dynamo very, very differently. We're talking to Lawrence Sonnally of the Houston Dynamo. I do want to take you back to something I asked you, I know, in the prior interview, Lawrence, and I want my listeners to hear it again from you, but just growing up in the amazing German soccer culture, just speak to that a little bit and just how the culture also, it's not just coaching, but it's the culture that grows the player.
Yeah, of course. I think in Europe in general, there's a little bit more pressure when you start playing soccer on a professional or even in the academies on a higher level. It's always about results, and you can get relegated. So there's always more pressure from the fans, from the coaches, from the teams, whatever. So I think this pressure makes good players. Like if you get pro with that pressure, and I think when you make a pro with all these pressure, you can make it anywhere. Like it develops you as a human, makes you better in any aspect. Yeah, and then speaking about the fans, about the culture, yeah, it's just amazing. 80,000 people in the stadiums, loud noises, cheering for you. But also the negative side, if it doesn't work out good for like two or three games, the media is on you, the fans are on you. Yeah.
I called a U.S. men's national team game against Germany way back before the 2006 World Cup in Dortmund, and it was an incredible experience just to mm-hmm. be amongst the German soccer culture.
Yeah.
I want to take you back to when you were young and the pressure thing that we were just mentioning. At what point as a teenager or a young kid do you begin to feel this pressure to make it, and where does that desire to become a pro footballer come from?
So it was when I was 14. I got told that I'm too small, that I'm too skinny, and I was playing for Hertha BSC, Hertha Berlin.
Yes.
A club in Germany. So they told me it's not enough, and I made the decision to move to a smaller club in Berlin. And this was the point in my life, I think, where it clicked, where everything changed in my head, and I was like, you know what, I want to show them. I'm small, but let me get a little bit stronger, work on my strengths. And yeah, this was, I think I was 14 back then, and this was the point in my life that changed everything for me.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And that's a moment of disappointment that you turn into a positive and motivation.
Yes. Okay. At the beginning, the first couple of months, I was down. I didn't even want, I was about to stop playing because it just threw me off. But yeah, losing a lot of friends on my team. I went to school together with them and everything. So it was a hard step back, but I made a couple steps forward from that.
And in Lawrence's youth career, he goes from Hertha Berlin, the disappointment, to Tennis Borussia Berlin. Then he goes to Victoria Berlin, Schalke 04, Hanover 96. You get into the second team at Hanover, and then you get 8 appearances for the first team before mm-hmm. being loaned out to Rot-Weiss Essen. Tell me about those 8 games for the Hanover first team.
I remember the first game I came in. It was against Dresden. A big traditional club in Germany, amazing fans. I came in, I think it was, the stadium was sold out, 40,000 people. Everything was yellow. I said after the game I got a little bit of a headache because it was so loud and was so nervous. Probably the most nervous I've ever been in my whole life. But yeah, it was an amazing experience. I was 18 or 19 back then, I think. And
amazing.
Yeah, it was just nice. And then the next games, they were like short minutes.
Yep.
And also 2 games in the cup games against Leipzig and Gladbach were also amazing. But yeah, in general, just a nice experience, and very thankful that Hanover back then gave you the opportunity.
Now, not to get you in trouble here, but do you one day want to go back and play in the German Bundesliga? I mean, looking long term?
I'm open for everything. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to stay healthy. And right now, I'm a player of Houston Dynamo. I'm very, very happy here. I think we can achieve a lot with this team. Especially looking forward. Yeah, we have a lot more to come for Houston. And first priority right now is to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you can become a star in this city with the way you play the game. That's so attractive to see dribblers and people taking people on and a playmaker like yourself. Rot-Weiss Essen, you get the loan there, and then you ultimately make the decision to go play in the Polish First Division. Mm-hmm. Tell me how that decision came about, and then what the Polish football was like.
First of all, the loan to the third division in Germany was something that helped me a lot. It was very physical, very hard, very grown up, I would say, football. And then when the loan was done, I had a talk with my club, Hanover. I told them that I see a better opportunity somewhere else because I got a call from Lukas Podolski, German legend,
yes.
Polish legend, amazing guy, by the way, hilarious. One day when I was on vacation, he called me and said, yeah, we have a nice project here. We see a big future for you. Maybe you play here one or two seasons and then you can make a big move somewhere else. And yeah, I think when Lukas Podolski calls you, you don't think twice. And then everything went very fast. Actually, I think like the next week I was there in Poland, and the beginning was tough. I didn't play much. Also, it was a little bit difficult for me. Another experience I made, first time away from home, really different country, different culture, different language. All these different experiences just helped me to be the person I am today and to play the way I am today.
How do you like Houston as a city? Because it's very different than Germany, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's very different. Again, different cultures, different languages. Spanish and English, but English is not a big problem. Houston is nice. I love it here. The weather is great every day, almost every day. Good food culture.
You may be the first German I've ever heard say that they love the weather in Houston, but that's okay. I love that attitude. Have you found a good German restaurant here? Have you found a good German restaurant in Houston?
Not yet, actually, but I got told there are some good German restaurants close by.
Yeah, I think there's one called Rudy Lechner's, if it's still going. They did a good sauerbraten there, but I haven't been there in a long time. I hope it's still open.
I need to check that out.
All right. Listen, Lawrence, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Wonderful interview. Thanks for being so candid. It made it a very interesting interview, and continued success with the Dynamo. We look forward to seeing you back out on the field and leaving defenders behind you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. That's Lawrence Sonnali. What a wonderful young man. What a great interview that was. All right. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. That's a good first hour we knocked out. Second hour, we got Fernando De Michelis coming in. Federico's going to join me in here for two segments. We're going to banter around a lot of topics. We're going to open the phone lines up and start getting some of your takes. And then we'll close the show out tonight with, from American Soccer Now, Brian Chiaretta. So Federico up next. We continue on. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. We'll take a break, and we're coming back. More of the best in soccer talk.
ESPN 97.5.